Fourth and final hour on this Wednesday afternoon. Darren Donick and Chase. Every week at this time, we talk to Chris Mason. He's driven by Freeland Chevrolet. He's also brought to you by Smoky Mountaintops, the exclusive partner of the Nashville Predators. Visit SmokyMountaintops.com. See, Mace, what's up?
Not too much, guys. Just looking forward to chatting with you and trying to think of what my next TikTok video is going to be.
Yeah, we appreciate you clearing out your schedule for us today.
Yeah. Nothing but time, guys.
By the way, a salute to you for keeping it going. I wonder who's going to be performing tonight in our circle, Mace?
That's what I was wondering what I was going to say, too. Is it going to be Skillsy going to be up? Is Kara, Lindsay, D-Mac, are you going to get in the game or
I
what?
I think you got to jump
hey,
in.
We're all just like you guys. We got loads of time once we're done here. Yeah. I mean, look, we just had a serious conversation with Tim Hasselbeck in the last hour. What are the Hasselbecks doing? So we suggested some family movies. They're doing that. What are the Masons doing with their time?
We are trying to do lots of stuff. We're actually starting to try to make some sort of a schedule where we do, you know, family board games, and then we do some no device kind of reading, get your brain going again. Get out on the driveway, hit some balls, shoot some hoops. Netflix, obviously, video games. We're doing it. We're pulling out all the stops.
Wow, I like that. I like that. That's a really good list. So we're big into board games. So I'd be curious.
Yeah.
What do you guys like to dabble in when it comes to board games?
We like everything. My oldest likes the game of life.
Okay.
Yahtzee.
Oh yeah.
Yahtzee is a good one that, you know, because we have a pretty big age spread. We got, you know, Quinn's 8 and Avery's 13, and then you got me, the big dummy, and then Courtney. So we try it all. We're trying to space it out so we don't get all the board games done in one day. So we're just trying to get some structure into what we do. It's kind of it's such a weird feeling, isn't it?
Oh, it really is. Any card games? Any you guys do any Uno or anything like that? Or
yeah. Oh, yeah, Uno, and we're going to – someone suggested yesterday, I think it was Joe Rexroad, I was talking to him and Robbie in the morning. Euchre was a game that I love, so I think I might have to teach the kids that one.
Wait a minute. Whoa.
This is great.
Whoa.
Chase got overexcited.
Got so excited, he just broke his microphone.
The constable?
Yeah. Yes.
Overexcited? Oh, my gosh. You don't see the constable get too fired up
he
too often.
He just came out of his chair. Well, he knows. Wait a minute. All the years we've been – I mean, love Euchre. Chase knows. That's why I think he just literally snapped the mic in half.
It's a great game.
I know, but people – I've noticed when I lived up north a long time ago – that was like the card game of choice. We would play for 24 hours straight.
Oh, I love
Euchre.
But
it's been harder down here to find Euchre players. So do you play much?
I used to play a lot. Like I
Me
haven't
too.
Played. You obviously need people to play with. But when I was playing hockey, we had a big group that would play Euchre a lot. And then when we do camping trips in the summer up in a cabin or in a trailer or whatever, we'd get, if it was raining outside, it was on. It was Euchre Central right there, so it's a great game.
Chris, can we teach Willie and Chase and have
a
little Euchre game
could.
Here?
Yeah,
Oh, my gosh. Okay, this has been worth it just for that discovery. I did not realize that.
You tried to teach me in Dallas, and it didn't go well.
Yeah, we tried.
Willie would like it because it's a partner game, and you have to think out your tricks, and you strategically have to lay your cards for your part. It's a really good game.
So
is it known as spades? Is there another?
No, it's similar. It's
similar
it's
to spades?
It's close.
Similar concept to that.
So,
different. But you have a partner, and it's good.
Mace, when we first arrived in Dallas, when we first got there, we get to the Airbnb, and that was my mission that night. So I had Chase, young Calvin Smith from our staff, who's analytics guy, young smart guy who's now getting his master's at Georgia Tech, and Ryan Porth. And so I was trying to teach them. Euchre, and as Chase said, as the night went along, Calvin and Ryan seemed to pick it up, but the constable was struggling a bit.
Well, you got it. There's certain, you know, strategy to it. You know, if D-Max, if he's the one calling it, then you got to slough it out. You got to get, you know, play the low spade or whatever, so you can get the other guy's cards out, and DMAC can win it, and you go from there. It was a great game.
Man, my mic is on IR right now, but we're gonna make this work.
Okay,
just hold it. Yeah, here's the problem with Euchre. What I was drinking didn't help my.
Well, there you go.
Didn't help thinking.
Definitely, that's like anything. At first couple, you're okay, but after there's a point when the performance starts going downhill.
As the night went along, Chase got a little fuzzier with his decisions.
Yeah,
and I was his partner, and I was doing a lot of like, okay.
Okay, you put me in a pickle here. That's a tough one.
Not sure what's going on here, Chase. What's happening? So anyway, well, all right, good to know. So we got some good news on the hockey front. Rad's test has come back. I don't know if you've seen this. It has come back negative. And as we were talking about earlier, when we knew that Radulov was going to get tested, remember he played in when the Predators had the home and home with Dallas. He played in the one game, didn't play in the other. But it has come back negative. But we've also learned that a player for the Senators has come back positive.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was a matter of time. I mean, nobody's immune to this whole thing, so it obviously sucks. But at least, you know, just take solace in the fact that the league acted quickly, you know, made the right decision. Once the NBA decided, it was pretty impressive how quickly all the other leagues and sports associations really followed suit and shut things down immediately. So I think this is the whole point of the self-quarantine, is to try to slow this thing down and, you know, really try to curb the spread of it. And I think, you know, everybody basically did what they had to do at the time. So I think, you know, people are going to have it and they're going to be infected by the virus. But if, you know, it doesn't spread on or everyone's doing the right things in order to slow that down, I think at the end of the day, that's all you can do. And I think the NHL and the NBA and, you know, the NBA led the way, and they did what they had to do and they acted quickly. So I really have a lot of respect for the people making the decisions on that. The way that they shut it down, it was almost instant, which is very commendable. Not an easy decision to make.
Mace, I've seen since some people around the league, and I think it's a good thing, because you never know, you know, who the people are that maybe haven't gotten all the information for whatever reason, but sometimes they see it through the filter of sports. I saw Roman Josi tweeting out today just his message, right, to follow those same steps. You know, setting the example is important, right?
100%. You have, you know, like, and it's everyone's, you know, a lot of the video, and that was a good video too, and we are all in this together. You know, whether we're at home, this whole thing affects everybody. So what we do, our actions affect other people. So we, even though you're staying at home, you're self-quarantined, social distancing, all the new terminology that we're all using, it affects everyone else. So I think you are in this together. Even though we're home alone, at the end of the day, it affects everybody. So just, you know, I defer to the experts on this whole thing, and what they tell me to do is take the proper steps and wash your hands, limit contact, all those type of things, and I'm doing it. So it's good to see the people, you know, that have a big audience, you know, really reinforcing that message, and I think it helps everybody that's looking for direction to say, hey, Roman Josi's at home and he's doing nothing, hanging with the dogs, you know, I'm going to do that too. I just, you know, it's hard though. You feel for the people that, you know, really are relying on paychecks right now, that their work or their office is shut down, and I don't know how every business is handling that. It's got to be tough financially for a lot of businesses and a lot of people, but at the end of the day, you hope that this is, by doing these things, it's going to be a shorter term absence from work and all those types of things. So it might be, you know, a lot of tough time here in the short run, but it'll hopefully pay dividends in the long run, which is why we're doing this.
I think back to, Mace, where we were less than a week ago and how much we've learned about all this in that pretty short period of time. I know I certainly have. So what's it like? We were up in Canada last week. Just when you talk to your friends back home, your family members and stuff, you know, it sort of echoes to me. Everybody, wherever you are in the world, is dealing with this, right? And basically the same things are being talked about.
Yeah, Canada is very much on the same path as, you know, doing the same things that the U.S. is doing. It's very similar in terms of what the directives are. It's exactly the same. There's a lot of communication from, you know, health providers and people that are, I guess, you know, at ground zero of this whole thing, that are dealing with some of the patients, that know the rate, you know, how infectious this disease is and how quickly it can spread. So just, you know, it's a pretty amazing thing to think that, I guess, you know, I've been on Twitter a lot more lately because you just get so much information all at once, and you really have to be careful, I find, of where you're getting information. But there's a lot of, obviously, the CDC and the WHO and all, there's some great organizations out there that are really giving you the stuff to follow. So I think it's pretty amazing that with the way that we communicate today, how quickly information gets passed on and how much everybody is following the guidelines. Because, you know, people like to be defined, and I think you saw that right when this whole thing started. People are out at, you know, bars jam-packed, and, you know, and I don't fault them, or I wouldn't shame those people, because at the end of the day, this is unprecedented, I think, in our lifetime, and a lot of times you don't have a full understanding of the situation. But now that everybody does, I think everybody's, you know, falling in the line and doing the right things. It's pretty impressive how quickly it all happened, I think.
Mace, a couple of things I saw today. I mean, this is just worth passing along for people that want to continue to do something productive while you're sitting at home. The Predators continue to have their Preds and Threads silent auction online available for anybody that wants to take a look at some of the items, and you'd be making a donation to the Predators Foundation, tornado relief, all of those things. That's something maybe you can pay attention to if you're sitting at home. The other thing is, if you're just looking for games to watch, Mace, you know this, tomorrow night we're going to start on Fox Sports Tennessee showing some of the more exciting games from earlier in the season. It starts with the game against the Capitals, a 6-5 Predators win, and so that will be televised tomorrow. So just and you and I will be sort of watching along with everybody tomorrow.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. I think right now, you know, it's only a few days into this whole thing, and we're all looking for stuff to do, ways to be entertained. And, you know, for me, there's nothing better than going back and watching some good hockey and reliving some of those moments. So, yeah, we'll definitely be following along on Twitter, and maybe, I don't know, throw out a live video so we can chat with some fans. I might do that, or maybe throw one out, just record one or something and give some, you know, analysis, maybe make fun of myself if I screwed up a phrase or a word or anything like that, which I often do. But it'll be good to go back and relive some of those games. There's some great games this year, and that one, I think they were down 4-2 or something going in the third period, and there was a heck of a finish in that hockey game. So, yeah, we'll be doing that. So if you guys got nothing else to do, please tune in and follow along.
So we were talking before you came on about showing even older games of, you know, our favorite sport. I brought up the 91 Braves that I was very young. I don't remember that. I'd love to go back and revisit it. And I know, you know, MLB Network showing old games. What could be a game that you remember from when you played for the Predators that could be fun for Fox Sports Tennessee to show?
That is a good question. I would have to say probably my only playoff win, which was against San Jose. I don't even know what year.
That would have been 06.
06, yeah. You and Pete Weber, you know, the day and the year and all that kind of stuff. That was a pretty fun game for me, but I'd have to say that I'm not too good at remembering games that I played. I don't know. I'd have to go with that one. That was the one that sticks out to me. You kind of caught me there for a minute.
Well, I think another fun one, it was one where you weren't here anymore. It might have been your first game back with St. Louis, but I think it was a 0-0 game going into a shootout, and
yeah.
The Preds lost. You won. I think the Blues won, and didn't you stop Leguan on the last shot or something like that? I was at that game.
It was actually, my wife was just talking about that because she suggests, I don't think my kids have even seen me play at all in the NHL, or they don't remember it anyway. So she was on the plane coming back to St. Louis on that one, and she couldn't watch. So she's following along through text from our parents and stuff like that. So yeah, it was a crazy game. It was the weirdest feeling. It was the first time I'd been traded in the NHL. And coming back to Nashville, which was the only team I'd ever played on in the National Hockey League, and it was such a weird feeling to start that game, but it ended up, you know, being a pretty good game for me and for the team. And to go into a shootout and Dan Ellis was the other goalie. He's the one that took my job the year before, and then we were going head-to-head. It was a great, great goalie battle, and it cost me some money, though. I had to put money on the board before that game, so it was a good outcome, but I had to pay for it, too.
Well, if there's a game that could be showed that the Predators don't win, that would be special exemption because of a great moment for Mace there.
Yeah, I think so. That's probably not one they would play, but
I think we could get you permission to play that one.
Yeah, we maybe could, and then I could do the live commentary or something like that. But no, there's so many good memories of playing here, and I just don't know any particular game. My first win might be one. Those are ones that, as an athlete, that really stick out to you, and that's a game that I'll never forget too. When I was at Bridgestone, we beat Colorado when they had. I wasn't even supposed to play that game, and I think Vokoun came down with a flu, and then they told me I was playing, and that's when they had Paul Kariya, Joe Sakic, Peter Forsberg, Adam. That's when they loaded up with all those guys, and we ended up winning 4-3 in overtime. So that was another game that really sticks out to me when I think about my career.
There have been rare, rare opportunities we've ever seen Chase come out of his seat and grab something that strong and rip it off. That's probably the most strength we've ever seen from one McCabe. Thanks. And we just now know the key phrase is euchre.
Euchre.
That's how he gets excited.
That's the trigger word.
That's the trigger word.
I got it fixed, though. So
hey, we have to do this. I think that would be fun.
Yeah.
To have a little euchre with the four of us to see how that played out. That would be a fun time.
Let's do it.
All right.
In a couple months.
Yeah. Whenever this hopefully settles
whenever
down.
Whenever they tell us we can.
That's right. Hey, thanks for doing this as always. You and the family be safe. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. Keep doing a good job, too. This helps me and a lot of people. So keep doing what you're doing.
Appreciate it. That's Chris Mason. Every week, driven by Freeland Chevrolet, also brought to you by Smoky Mountaintops, the exclusive partner of the Nashville Predators. Visit SmokyMountaintops.com. More next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good conversation with Chris Mason. Enjoy it as always, every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. Now, on the hockey front, there was a proposal out there, and right now it is, and I'm guilty of this because I'm just trying to brighten people's day because everybody is somewhat a little bit depressed of what we're all having to go through. So I'm kind of guilty of putting a lot of just fun stuff out there. And so sifting through my timeline right now, it takes me a while. Because I'm just trying to make people laugh, you know, or try to help you laugh through this because it's easy to get down and depressed. It's affecting everybody, everything we do. Now, everybody has different levels of how we're being affected, but I saw this from James Myrtle.
Yep.
And this is the one that I saw, a player's proposal. This was coming from TSN. And a plan for restarting
this is
the season.
It's a collaboration between a bunch of players.
Yeah. It's a player proposal, and it's a plan that if they were to come back, they would have a training camp in early July. Regular season would wrap up in late July. Playoffs would be August through September. And then the draft and free agency would be in October. And then in November, the next season would begin. I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I think this is an incredible stretch. Like, I would give this, honestly, I don't want to say 0% because I don't want to.
You can't say that on anything.
I don't want to do Tim Hasselbeck and then waffle, get happy feet a little bit later. Because, you know, 0% suggests that you absolutely know, and we don't absolutely know. But I would give it in the 1% to 2% chance of being a reality.
Yeah, I'd go a little higher than that. But
that's me. I would give this virtually no chance of being a reality.
You're saying the format or just realistically being able to start by July?
That format right there. Like so, this player proposal of an early July training camp, a late July finish to the regular season, August and September for your Stanley Cup playoffs, October would be your draft and your free agency, and November would be the start of the next season. I would give that 1% to 2% chance of being a reality. That's me.
Well, let me give you Bill Daly's quote. I'm looking at The Athletic here because this answers one of the questions we've had for the last few days on how would you go about it. The only definite for us is we certainly don't want to do anything around a resumption of play this season that would impact our ability to have a full season next year.
And Bill Daly's role with the National Hockey League is what?
He is the deputy commissioner.
And the deputy commissioner just said, yeah, we're not really interested in affecting next season.
Well, that has been a question, right?
No, that's not what he said. He said that we want to be able to have a full season. Not that it necessarily, I mean, you push back to November, you could still pull off 82 games.
No, that's true.
You could pull that off.
It would be very, very compact. Is that
they've
looking
done that.
Out?
They've done that with the Olympics and taken a month off.
I guess in that proposal, though, Darren, too, why wouldn't you be able to do a draft before that? You know,
here's some things
you have
to think
the draft,
about.
Like the free, you do have to have a free agency.
Well, you would have to do it then either during this, while this is going on, which you don't want to do, or before. And why would you want to have the draft before your regular season and your playoffs wrapped up?
I just think it's going to be hard to have much of a resumption of the regular season, right?
That's the thing I don't get. Like they have 2019-20 finishes in late July. You come back, you do a week training camp or 2 week training camp, and you do the playoffs. That's what I think.
Why do we think? And we should have brought this up to Mace because he's the professional athlete, and no offense, Willie, but he's the one who played at this level. And why do we think July? Think they've been out since March? That July you need a week to come back and hit the ice.
Well,
full
2 weeks, yeah. I mean, look, that's a good point.
When everybody references the strike-shortened season where they played half of a year, right? They were able to get to – they were playing in other leagues. They were out there. It's not like they were just sitting at home doing nothing, playing with their dogs or painting or – right? They're not out there doing – those guys scattered. They went everywhere. They were playing
– yeah.
This is not the same. That's not an apples-to-apples comparison. If most of these guys have to basically do nothing for the most part, you can't have a week training camp after being off since March.
That's a fair point. And here's another thing to consider. If you're going to finish this season and then have the playoffs for this season and you're not going to do it until July, I mean, there are guys that are probably thinking, hey, this is my last year. I'm going to retire. I mean, are they really going to come back go through training camp again to get back in shape and get ready to play only to play for a few more weeks? I think it affects rosters from that standpoint.
Williams. The percentage of teams that are out of the race. Right. Justin Williams, I think
Justin Williams is a prime example.
If you have
example.
A chance for the cup, I think the players would do that. If your team is out of the race and you're just playing so that you can fill out
the
schedule.
You're saying like maybe Joe Thornton. What if he decided this was it? If San Jose's not going to the playoffs. So you're saying he would say the heck with it?
I don't know. Here's another part of the equation. Okay, let's say that a guy is hurt. A guy's on IR. There is no chance that he would have been available for the playoffs.
Tarasenko?
Well, he could have been available for the playoffs, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's what they're saying.
So I'm saying that I get hurt and I'm not going to be. I was going to be out for the rest of the season. I wasn't going to be available for the playoffs, but I would be in July.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do you do then? Because you're changing things, and I get that if you're healthy, you may think, all right, well, you can get in there and play. Well, you weren't going to be available for the playoffs until this happened. Those are things you got to think about.
Yeah, I guess they would have to adapt accordingly.
And then you're asking a month for, or not even a month, for a draft and free agency. You got to hire and fire coaches. I mean, there are going to be coaching changes, and you're having to move everybody around.
I say I'll stick to my 1% to 2% chance that this actually has any chance of being a reality. If you're not coming back to July, there is no more regular season, in my opinion. Like
honestly, I don't know if there's a postseason.
Right? No, I know. That's why I've got it at 1-2%. I don't believe this is reality.
I just think you, unfortunately.
If we're talking about July, I just think, unfortunately, it stinks, but it's lost. It's all lost.
Well, let's bring it back home. The TSSAA had their big board meeting yesterday, and they all agreed, let's keep hope alive. Let's keep options alive down the road. If we could find a way to finish winter sports championships that are undone, find a way to maybe have a postseason tournament for spring sports, let's keep that option open and alive. Right now, just the reality is you'd be hard-pressed to find a health official who is in the know thinking realistically you could get a whole lot done before July, August. I mean, they're probably going to be err on the side of caution and say, you know, it's going to be longer than that. That these are important people to listen to. But that being said, I think it's the right thing to do to be prepared for when you get the green light. We don't know when the green light's coming, but I do think you have to be prepared to keep the window as short as possible. The players have a vested interest in hockey because every revenue dollar generated goes towards their livelihood,
sure.
Right? The pie that is divvied up between the owners and the players, the salary cap is based on that. So they have every incentive to play. But I think we also have to make sure we make the sound choice from what the health officials have said. Have they talked about at all a scenario where they get self-quarantined and you played without fans in the stands and you play just for TV only? I mean, that's something I know has been tossed around.
This is the only
thing. I don't know how realistic that is either.
This was the latest thing that was put out on TSN. I saw this, and I just, I mean, we all want it to come back and make it work. I don't understand why people keep bringing up they've done it in the past. It's not the same.
It's not the past.
It's not the same.
It's different.
Okay? This is completely different.
You can't play.
Please stop referencing the strike shortened season, the half a year. Those guys were playing. When they weren't playing here, they were playing somewhere else. And so they were in shape. And, yeah, they only needed a week then to be with their teams and then get going. I think there's virtually no way that these guys can come back in July and say a week and then full speed ahead. I don't know how anyone could believe that is a realistic possibility. Ask the players to do that is insane.
They're asking the players now to try to stay in shape as best they can. But you're probably doing that. You should be doing that without skating, right? It's presumed that you have to work out on your own. Those are the guidelines.
That's pretty much what they do in the off season anyway, right? But
if you haven't skated in months, just think about somebody who has missed a lot of time with your regular run-of-the-mill injury. You got to skate for a while before you're ready to play in again. Now, maybe the players collectively are saying, you know what, we know this is not ideal, but these are new times, and everybody's in the same boat. Nobody's been training, so let's just all go out there. We're out of shape, but we got to play.
I don't know if they would
make that choice.
Because they're thinking about their paychecks, and I get it.
But sometimes
you can't let players dictate that because there is safety.
Right.
Do you think it's practicing? Is that a good safety move for them to just jump into the mix and go?
No. It would be short-term
gain. Sometimes you have to protect them from themselves.
Right, with long-term risk, and there's probably owners and GMs saying, you know, I get it. I admire your willingness to do this, but we also have to think about we've invested in you in a 5-year contract or a 4-year contract. I don't want you doing something now that's going to shorten the back end of your career. This is why Bill Daly has said, the baseline now is we want to make sure that next season is a full season, not extend this season and then shorten next season. The reality is, too, I think football season, they have to start thinking about when they're going to get the green light, right? You have to prepare for best case, but it's also, it would be unwise to say, well, we'll be fine. We'll start our season on time. You don't know, right? You have to start preparing
for. Well, as I've been saying this week,
what if training camp
starts
September
1st? It's not really
about
starting on time in my book. I mean, I think they're going to be, they have a better chance than anybody. What I've brought up this week is if they think that they're out of the woods once this all settles down and it's back to normalcy, I think that they're going to have to probably have to deal with this when the colder temperatures come back around, and then they have to worry about what's going to happen to their season. And, oh, by the way, you know, all these other sports. I mean, if we're talking about a full the NHL, the NBA is going to get cranked up in October if they're going to get back to their normal schedule. And so what does baseball look like? We don't know what their plan is. When do they have, you know, what are they going to do with their season? If it, we're talking June, July for them, mm-hmm. they haven't played a game. What do you do then? Mm-hmm. Are you going to try to make up some of those games? Are you just going to have a normal postseason? Is your postseason going to be longer? So then you're dealing with going into November. I mean, can you even do that? It's tough. I get it. These are really, really tough decisions. But right now, it's hard to even make a decision because nobody knows how it's going to play out long term, like how long this is going to last.
This is, again, Bill Daly. I don't think I'm ruling anything out other than we're going to make decisions to try and preserve our ability to have a full season next year. So you're thinking in a lot of different pathways because there is a lot of unknown. The health experts, they know a lot, but they also admit that this is a new virus. This is unprecedented, so you can't know exactly. You can project. You can try. Every day people are working on vaccines and things like that. They're a long ways off, but this is all part of the process. But you can't know because this is a new virus. Things like you were saying, what happens when it gets cold again? Let's make sure we don't have a relapse. You know, all of these things. Yeah. You can't give the green light to society too early and then risk, you know, having a spread speed back up. You know, these sort of things.
Tell us about Lee Company.
All right, Lee Company, 615-567-1000. They do so much great work in our community for a lot of different people on a lot of different stages. Home maintenance at your workplace. Of course, the home maintenance plan with your heating, cooling units. You're going to be home a lot. You want to make sure your house is running properly. So if you want to inquire about the home maintenance plan, this is a good time to do it. Lee Company, 615-567-1000. Or go online at leecompany.com. They're a big sponsor of the Nashville Predators. They're very supportive of a lot of sports entities around here, and they want to do the best job they can during these times as well. 615-567-1000 for Lee Company, or go online at leecompany.com.
Jarrell Casey has been shipped to the Broncos for a 7th-round pick. It's one of the big pieces of Titans news that's come out. It seems like the Packers, Redskins, and a team in the Titans division has interest in Delanie Walker's services, that being the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts' worst-kept secret out there was that they were interested in Phillip Rivers. They inked him to a 1-year, $25 million deal. So Phillip Rivers now in the Titans division. He will play them twice this upcoming season. And as we've talked about a lot, with all of his days in with the Chargers, his record is, that's not good news. His record against the Titans has been very, very good. Maybe that'll change. He, for whatever reason, I don't know why, but he has enjoyed playing the Titans over the years.
That he has. And one of the big pass rushers is off the market too. Did you say that? Did you see that?
No.
Dante Fowler.
Tell us about
going to Atlanta. 3-year deal.
Going to Atlanta.
So he was somebody that, you know, we were talking about the Jarrell Casey trade earlier and them clearing room, you know, could that be an option? But Fowler has signed signed a 3-year, $48 million contract with Atlanta, and he's going there, leaving the Rams. So Clowney is the best pass rusher available right now. Are the Titans involved? Is that why they cleared room? Is it Logan Ryan? These are all things that we're just kind of waiting to see right now.
I think from everything I can tell and what people are saying about Clowney is they're saying, you know, all of his strengths, but everybody, it ends with a but. or it comes around to a but, and the but is, yeah, but probably not worth the money. Because he's going to want top dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that I can see that everybody who's talked about what he brings to the table, it's really good. And then they go, yeah, but he's not worth the money.
That's the thing. That's what, you know, we're going to have to wait and see on. I mean, look, I look at the Titans and I'm thinking they have to do something. That's why they cleared the room with, you know, moving Jarrell Casey. So there's something there, whether there's a move we don't see coming, like, you know, similar to that one, because I don't think anybody saw that one coming. But you know, I don't know. And that's what I'm trying to figure out is what's the next domino to drop for the Titans. And look, it could come out, you know, most things seem to come out after 2 o'clock. So that's probably what's going to end up happening, that, you know, there could be news coming down the pike of a signing or a trade or something that, again, that we don't know about. But
I would think there'd be a lot, I think, with Clowney, there's a second wave of people that kind of sit back and say, well, let's see where the big dominoes hit, and then the dominoes go according. There'll probably be some other ones, too, that are just less reported on that happen to hit once you can officially do all this stuff.
Yeah.
I wonder, too, the mechanism, which is slowed down, right? You can't have visits. You can't have people come in. It's a lot harder to conduct physicals. I wonder what that does to the overall business here.
It's a good question. I can't believe you haven't brought up your boy Jason Witten.
Yeah, that was weird.
He's no longer with the Cowboys, but still going to play.
Yeah, how about that?
He's going two former Monday Night Football analysts are going to work together. He's going to go play for the Raiders.
Yeah, I don't really know what – I mean, nothing is Jason Witten. He's a Hall of Famer, but I'm not sure what he's got left in the tank.
I don't know either. Outside of just locker room stuff. He's a good locker room guy.
Other than that, sure. I mean, he's a great guy to have in the room, but what does he actually bring to the table?
Yeah.
And the Raiders have a fantastic tight end. So I don't know if he's maybe to help him, him along.
You know, and that could be a part of it. And it's interesting. You know, Mariota's going out there, reportedly gonna, I assume, be the backup to Derek Carr. But I think that could turn into something. That could turn into a competition, and maybe Mariota does to Carr what Tannehill did to him. You know, who knows?
Well, nobody really knows if Derek Carr is going to be their opening day starter. As in, he'll be there. He'll be the starter if he's there. But why does he keep getting linked to all these other –
yeah.
You know, why is he on the board that you can bet that he'll be the opening day starter for somebody else if they didn't think that there's something to him maybe getting traded on draft day?
Yeah. And look, you read everything about Mariota and the Raiders. Gruden loved him coming out of Oregon. Mike Mayock loved him coming out of Oregon. Both of them were on TV at the time. And so they were very, very high on Mariota, and apparently they still are. So, and Derek, you know, John Gruden has never acted like he was married to Derek Carr. So that is something to watch, and, you know, they got to obviously do well in their first season and try and sell tickets there in Las Vegas. So I'm very curious by some of those moves. But, you know, love Jason Witten as a Cowboys fan, but there's just not much left.
Mm-mm. Jags have traded Nick Foles to the Bears after giving him a monster deal this time last year. So he'll be in Chicago, and who knows how that's all going to play out.
$15 million guaranteed up front.
Yeah.
Oof. 15, boom, just to have him on your team. That's why Jacksonville was eager to trade him. So that's an expensive ad for the Bears, if indeed he is, quote, just pushing Trubisky. That's a $15 million guarantee just to push,
yeah.
Let alone do you want him to play? Like, I would think you invest that much, that's a guy you want on the field.
But he's on a rookie contract, so maybe they feel like they can play with Trubisky until he's ready for that next deal, right?
Yeah, I guess. So that's an expensive proposition. That's a more expensive proposition of the Tannehill to push Mariota. Right, which is a similar situation. Right, Tannehill pushed Mariota. Obviously, we know what happened. presumably that could happen in Chicago, but it's going to cost the Bears a lot more than it costs the Titans to do that.
Yep.
The Titans did that for a minuscule price.
I want to talk to all the men out there. I've been telling you for years about my friends over at Cool Springs MD, and they know a lot of you have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, with his wife Daphne Lodge, along with their experienced staff, want to give you men out there the treatments that are required to improve your quality of life. And I hope you want that as we all get older. Now, Dr. Jeffrey Lodge is the board certified physician over there. His wife Daphne is the registered nurse, and they can certainly help you in that quest along with their staff. And their services have already helped a lot of you here in the Middle Tennessee area and surrounding areas with improving your immune systems, your energy levels, your cognitive function, and so much more. They're there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. There's no better time to achieve that healthy lifestyle than right now. What are you waiting for? Pick up the phone, make an appointment like I have by dialing 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. You can always go to their website, coolspringsmd.com. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Kind of going along the lines of what you were kind of saying going into the break of, you know, what are these coaches going to do? We had an interesting discussion with Tom Crager at the beginning of the show talking about the TSSAA and how long this will go on. But you know there's going to be a lot of coaches as you just sit and wait that are dying to get some type of work, and you don't want your players just sitting there doing nothing. So what is the right balance? And I was telling you what, and I think I said it earlier in the show, what I reached out to our family, our baseball family, and I just told them, I said, under these circumstances, I can't in good conscience as a coach do team gatherings. We just can't
right.
do it. Like, this is as much as we're all itching to get out there and dying to practice, especially with, you know, a lot of our schedules are freed up, that we can't do that. But I told you that I did offer up that I'd be willing to do one-on-one work, you know, throw to them, let them hit, whatever, but it just in a one-on-one setting, nothing team related. I don't even know if that's, you know,
right.
That's the thing.
And we've
talked about
mind,
it all week.
That like, sounds what like it would be very minimal risk, but at the same time, some doctor could tell you, well, you know, maybe you should, maybe you shouldn't. You know, but this, I think every coach, right, it just stands to reason, every coach has to go through in their mind, because every athlete wants to stay in shape, right? Now let's think about it on a, you coach a team with, what, 12 players? A youth league team
with 12
11, players.
We have a roster of 11.
So that's all the families, right? Mm-hmm. All the considerations for all those families. You're trying to, with one-on-one, you would think there's a minimal exchange of anything. You can try to even never come within 6 foot of the kid, right?
Well,
so these are all things you have to think about. All these things,
that's easy to do, no question.
But now let's think about it. On Greg Sankey today had a conference call, I think, and more or less said, listen, the spring sports are done. Let's focus on having the 2021 season be a complete season. So what does that mean for, we've had many discussions over the years, is there ever an off season for a major college scholarship athlete? Not really, right? Especially, let's think in terms of football. There's no spring football. There's likely not going to be any 7-on-7 stuff anytime soon. So what does a football coach do to try to keep their athletes conditioned? These are all questions that I'm sure they're asking, and I'm not sure they have the answers right now. Can you go in? And because we've talked about it with the NHL, who's trying to finish an active season. What about for next season for a football player? Can you do a one-on-one workout with the weights coach? Can you, or do you just have to do a weight training session on your own, by yourself, if you're really in self-isolation? These are all tough
right.
questions, because
and things we're not going to have the answer to for a while.
Right. We don't have the clear answer, and at the same time, we're trying to, you know, do everything you can to develop, right? We want to keep developing. We don't want to completely stunt everybody's growth. Everybody has got to wrap their arms around this. And it's not a priority, probably, but I'm sure every coach is thinking about these things.
As we've said all week, Willie, nobody knows what the right answer is, because unless you literally just stay at home and then that's it, you don't leave your house, then you are at risk, right? I mean, so anything, as much as we could try to minimize, unless you are literally just in shutdown mode, it's like, okay, well, don't do this, but if you go to the grocery store or you go to something else, so
you're gonna be exposed somehow.
I know, it's hard to come up with what's the right decision, other right. than you literally do nothing,
right? Yeah. And that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah. And every day, as we've seen, it changes.
Mm-hmm.
All I would say is, if you're at home and you're wondering these same things that I'm wondering and Darren's wondering, give it some thought before you just go do anything, right? Just give it some thought, maybe consult health experts, doctors, to say, is this okay? You know? Is this all right? What do you think? Because it's hard for everybody to have the definitive answer, right? So make smart judgment.
Is it okay for us to have a euchre tournament tonight? Probably not. But I wish we could.
Remotely.
Can you play remotely?
I don't know.
We could. It might take a little longer.
We'd have to work on that.
How would you shuffle and get the cards out?
It's a good point.
Might be a problem. Logistical issues.
Yep. Yeah. All right. That's going to do it for us. Everybody have a great rest of your Wednesday. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then.